Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, and the surrounding areas. I want to send greetings to you, and you, wherever you are at this time, most holy greetings to you. And I know it's kind of chilly, but listen, come on, turn over, jump out the bed, call your friend, call somebody, and tell them you've got to tune in. This is time now for you to tune in. There is a word from the Lord. Now wake them up. Tell them to come on now. You done been warm enough. Now come on up so we can warm you up too. Praise God. All right? Do that now. Tell them, say, this is your watch hour time. Watch right now and listen to what God is saying for you today, because you need a word from the Lord. You and you, wherever you are today. And listen, I want you to call in after a speaker. I want you to call in and ask a question or opinion, or be opinionated, whichever one. Don't get nasty, though. We'll cut you off. Praise God. I just thought I'd tell you. Praise the Lord. But just be nice, okay? Just if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. We don't have to part friends. We can still love each other, whether we agree or not, okay? Is that all right? All right, now, I have given you a chance now as our prayer warrior is going to be here praying. And also this, listen, now, if you got a prayer request, what is your prayer request? You got somebody sick right now, call 347-857-3925. We will pray then, okay? And we will continue to pray after we're off the air, okay? All right, now, here she is, none other than Sister Diane.
Amen. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lords of Lords, and there is no other God but you. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. We thank you, Lord Father, for this day, Lord Father. Father, a day that wasn't promised to us, Lord Father. We thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, Lord Father, being able to do, Lord Father, for others other than ourselves, Lord Father. Father, we say thank you, taking nothing and no one for granted. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, you know each and every person name by name and what they're in need of, Lord Father. And we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before you asking, O God, for forgiveness, Lord Father, and those that we're praying for, forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you were just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us, Lord Father. We thank you, O God, for being a merciful Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for being so merciful upon us, Lord Father, when we come before you. Heavenly Father, we touching and agreeing, Lord Father, with all those that ask for prayer, Lord Father, for themselves or for their families, Lord Father. And we thanking you right now for your will being done. Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Elise, Lord Father, pleading the blood of Jesus over her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord. Father, touch her mind, Lord Father. Father, bring her back to her right mind right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, you say, by your stripes we are healed, Lord Father. You did it back then, and we know you're still doing it now, Lord Father. And we're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your healing virtue flowing through and through her right now, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Sandra, Lord Father. Father, look upon her right now, Lord Father. Touch her body right now, Lord Father. From the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet, Lord Father, we speak healing, Lord Father. Father, we thank you and glorify you, Lord Father, for all that you have done for her, doing for her, and about to do for her, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless your name right now, Lord. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Howard Jones, Lord Father, and Barbara, Father, all those, Lord Father, that are going through cancer right now. Touch their bodies right now, Lord Father. Have mercy upon them, Lord Father. Father, forgive them for every sin, O God, that they may have committed against you, Lord Father. We thank you right now, Lord Father, for healing, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father God, for not leaving them leave this earth and go to a Christless grave, Lord Father. But we speak healing over them right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord Father, to touch Tori, Lord Father. Father, touch him, Lord Father, in a mighty and a special way, Lord Father. You know what's going on with him, Lord Father. And Father, we speak healing right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Touch his mind, touch his body, Lord Father. Touch his spirit, man, right now. In Jesus' name, Lord Father. Father, we hold before you Maxwell, Lord Father, and all those, Lord Father, that have COVID, Lord Father. Father, touch their immune system right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, touch it right now, Lord Father. Have mercy right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, let them continue to seek your face. Call upon you, Lord Father, for their healing right now, Lord Father. And Father, for all those, Lord Father, that have been healed from the COVID, Lord Father. Father, we pray, Lord Father God, against relapse right now, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for them listening and building their immune system, Lord Father. We thank you for no side effects, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for their five senses being in operation, Lord Father. Father, continue, Lord Father, to touch them in a mighty and a special way right now, Lord Father. So many people, oh God, is leaving here, Lord Father, whether it's from COVID, Lord Father, gunshots, suicide, Lord Father. Have mercy right now, Lord Father, and America right now, Lord Father. Father, let your people rise up, stand together right now, calling upon your name, Lord Father, praying, Lord Father God, for the neighborhoods, Lord Father, their city, their state, their region, Lord Father. Father, for their unsaved loved ones, Lord Father. Father, we ask you, O God, to baptize us right now, Lord Father, with your agape love, Lord Father. Let compassion come forth right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, touch our listeners, Lord Father. Continue to keep them covered under the blood, Lord Father, and they're going out and they're coming in, Lord Father. Father, protect them on their jobs as we plead the blood of Jesus over them, Lord Father. For those, Lord Father, that are listening while they're at work, Lord Father. Father, on their way, Lord Father, to work or home, Lord Father, we pray for traveling mercies for them right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, we thank you and glorify you, Lord Father, for supplying all their needs right now, Lord. Now, Father, I ask you, Lord Father, to touch the speaker of the hour, Lord Father. Decrease her, O God, as you increase in her, Lord Father. We're thanking you right now, O God, for that rhema word coming forth, Lord Father. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast right now, canceling every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast or anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast. We render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for showing up and showing out, Lord. We thank you for healing and deliverance, being in the midst, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask you to decrease my apostle and bishop, Lord, Father. It's you increasing them, Lord, Father. Decrease, Lord, Father God, Elder Addison right now, Lord, Father, as you increase in her right now, Lord, Father. We thank you for using them right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you hear your name? If you didn't, that means you didn't call. Call us at 347-857-3925 and give us your prayer request so that we can call your name before the Lord, and we will continue to do so until you or the Lord let us to tell us to let up on it. He got it all under control right now, whichever way it goes. But we're so glad that you're here today. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you a little word, just a little word today. Praise God. Excuse me. Happiness comes not from having much to live on, but having much to live for. Happiness comes not from having much to live on, but having much to live for. How much do you have to live for? Do it make you happy? Huh? Do it make you happy? Well, all right. Hey, praise God. If it don't, well, we want you to get some happiness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we thank God for you being on today. We thank God for Bishop Porter being here today. We thank God for Sister Diane. And we thank God for you, you, and you. And we want to send our greetings out, especially to those of the islands, you know, St. Thomas and St. Croix and all the other saints. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to send greetings to you today. And those that are listening in faraway places where they are not supposed to listen, but they are listening. I thank God. I know it's a little hard right now, but listen, we are praying for these countries to be released, to pray and to call on Jesus, because that's the only help. Okay, we are praying for these countries, each one of those that listen to this broadcast on a continual basis. And we thank God for you, and we pray your safety. Okay, well, now, you know, you hear my voice trying to go, bless God, but I'm pressing on, bless the Lord. Hallelujah, you know, let me tell you. If you can't get joy in serving God, where can you get it in? Think about that. I get joy in serving God no matter what it is that occur, what happened. Praise God. And believe me, the devil don't let up on none of us. Amen. He always got something going, don't he? My God, my God. You get up in the morning, he got something going. You get up in the evening, he got something going. Oh, Lord God, every time you lay your head down, he got something going. You say, well, I ain't got nothing going in my life. You know that headache you got. Yes. Praise God. You got a headache. You got children. You got grandchildren. You see, trouble come in all forms and shapes and sizes. Okay? Now, you may not call it nothing happening, trouble, but it's happening, ain't it? Huh? And you cry out and you tell somebody pray for me. And you know how y'all get on Facebook. You don't want to name no name. And you tell my, pray for mother's dog or something like that. You know how you do. Praise God. You always want somebody to pray for something like that. You want to pray for that. You believe God for that, but you don't believe God to heal the body. Okay. Praise God. I'm not meddling today. Praise the Lord. I like to state facts. I'm a fact person. Okay. The fact is that we do these things. The fact is that we overlook the precious things that we should look at. We don't look at them. We overlook them. Okay. But instead of overlooking what you ought not to overlook, you need to become a what? Overcomer. Okay? You need to become an overcomer and speak overcoming words, you know, and all that. Do all that, no matter what's going on in your life, how you feel, who made you mad, who did you wrong. It don't matter. You know, that stuff don't even matter because God got your back regardless. Amen. I'm so glad about that. You know, it looks like the more you try to do, the more they say this thing is going on, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now, you know, there's a lot of things we can compare this with. These things have happened in this world before. You know, and if it's last long, it might not be. We'll say it won't be the last, would it? Mm-hmm. Praise God. But let me tell you, God allows whatever he chooses to go on in this world. And listen, if you stand in the gap, stand and be counted among those that are sanctified, you'll get over it. Huh? You'll get over it. Yes, you will. I guarantee you'll get over it. You'll get through it. Huh? Why will you get through? Because you're an overcomer. Did you get that? Everybody needs to know that they are an overcomer. Yes, they are. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ain't God good? He is so good to us. And I appreciate the fact that God watches over us and he watches over you. And listen, I'm going to give you this. He watches over your prayers. Amen. Now, you didn't know God watch over your prayer. Now, when you going to start praying? Start praying instead of talking. Huh? Talking about. I want you to talk about Jesus. That's what I want you to talk about. The more you talk about him, the more he'll start blessing you. Because you are his favorite person. Mm-hmm. Yes, you didn't know that, did you? The day you were his favorite person. Now, you know, we got a lovely speaker here today. Amen, amen, amen. I love building people up. You know what I'm saying? It's wonderful how to build up a person and see them in what you've been building on them, the bricks you've been laying there. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I like that. I like to see you come out of that place you've been in, you know, that solemn place, and call yourself trying to be shame and all that. Ain't nothing to shame. Shame but the devil is a shame. Don't let the devil take over. Don't let the devil have no space in your life, you see. So that means, say, I ain't being shamed no more, ain't that right? Mm-hmm. Huh? I ain't being shamed no more. I'm going to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. I guess you say that's why I'm hoarse, huh? Hallelujah, Jesus. But I thank God for all my friends out there. I'm going to call you my friend today. That's what I'm calling every one of you. Hallelujah. I don't know some of you personally, but I love you just the same. I don't have to know you personally, you know. If you want to get to know me, you can. And I'm willing. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to call you my friend today. Yes, each one of you, don't matter how old you are, young you are, no matter what color you are, doesn't matter where you are, what kind of country you're in, I love you just the same.
And I want to see you released from the bondages that tie you down. Okay? That's what I want to see. Therefore, I don't mind praying that God release you. You and you. Yes, you too. Praise God. God is good to us, isn't it? I tell you, God is so good. I just don't know. I could just take wings and fly, huh? Amen, amen, amen. You could fly over there where you at and just say, hey, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I know. I have a sense of humor. Yes, I do. Praise God. I love it. So, listen, you need one too. Keeps you sane. Praise God. Hallelujah. Keeps you sane. Glory to God. Laugh at everything. Laugh at the crazy ones, the one to pick at you, say evil things. Laugh at them too. Hallelujah, Jesus. You'll get over their stuff. Amen. Will they get over your happiness? No, they're going to have to join you. Ooh, isn't that wonderful for them to join the happiness bunch? Oh, yes. Ain't that right now? Just smile. Smile, smile. You know, amen. I'm not preaching today, praise God, you know. I only preach if someone, me or Bishop, if he's here, amen. He be busy sometimes, so he can't always be here. And Diane, praise God, amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're trying to mold her into, you know, speaking, yes, we are molding her into speaking also. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I know y'all laughing on the other side. She laughing now, you know. So I know y'all will laugh too. Mm-hmm. But it's the truth. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. She good. She good. She knows. She knows. She knows. I'm so happy, but she knows. Now I got to get her to loose it up. Praise God. Now, if you all want to be loose too, we'll loose you too. Praise God. I have to work on you first, though, okay? Hallelujah. Bishop, either me or Bishop going to work on you. Who you want, me or Bishop? Now, Bishop don't laugh like me. Now, I'll be laughing and carrying on, you know, praise God. So, Bishop, he's stern. He's very stern, all right? Praise God. Hallelujah. But everybody have its own place. And, you know, I am just thrilled that this young lady is with us today and all, you know, and we're going to let her loose to kind of, how you say, let God use her. I like to see what God do for people, you know. How he works in us. You see what I'm saying? What word come out? What word comes out? All right. Amen. That you know ain't nothing but Jesus. It ain't nothing but the Lord. Amen. I tell you. Well, you know, you got to stay tuned. Now, you had to call your friends to come on in and listen too. Now, you don't want to get all the good stuff by yourself, do you?
Come on now.
She's good and she's well-trained. She's well-trained, you know, and all. And listen, she loves to smile too. You know, every time I see her, she smiles. Well, she looks like she got a smile on her face. She looks like a smile, don't it? So, therefore, she's smiley, too. Mm-hmm. A happy person. Happy in the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Happy in the Lord. And we're going to bring to you all, in her own way, none other than, I like this. She says she elder. You know how, you know me, I be done hung another title on people, right? Praise the Lord. But since that is what she like, we'll call her elder. Either we'll just say Yvonne Addison to the audience at this time. Amen. Give her a good amen. And ask questions now. Got this.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I am smiling right now. Hello. I am smiling right now, and I do try to keep a smile on my face. And you did say something earlier about laughter, because laughter is important. It is healing. It's healing. It's medicine for us. Where it tells us that. So we should find something. You know, I did a vlog once on Have You Laughed Today? So, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to find something to laugh about today. You know, it is healing. It does, yes, it does promote healing, and it just does a lot of things for us. So I just want to encourage everyone to find something to laugh about, even in the midst of all these uncertainties. Do laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, yeah, so Apostle Gloria and Bishop Porter and Sister Diane, which that was a beautiful prayer this morning. I just felt really comfort in that prayer. I believe that the Lord honored that prayer on this morning. So I bless the Lord. I'm coming. The Lord is just giving me something a little bit different today. So I'm going to minister or present this message in a different format. And I believe Apostle Gloria has given me permission to do that. So I'm going to talk about grief today. And I know that in this time that people are experiencing different losses, especially losses of loved ones. And I just want to talk a little bit about that as the Lord guides me through this, that the Holy Spirit gives me what to say. And this was really provoked by an experience that I had over the last couple of weeks. Well, I would say about a week and a half or so. So one morning, I just woke up and I just was heavy with sadness, just heavy with sadness, and just had this overwhelming sense of just sadness. And I just started crying, and I could not, I didn't know where it was coming from. I didn't have anything to pin those that emotion to at the moment. But then as, you know, as the weekend went on and just seeking the Lord, just asking God, what is going on? What is happening right now? I don't understand this. And so what it was actually the December 2nd was the anniversary of my son's passing, and December 7th was his when we laid him to rest. So, and so I didn't, you know, those dates just didn't, I had actually forgotten about it, but my body and my mind and my senses and all of that, those things remembered that time, remembered the loss. And so my body was actually reacting to that, even though I didn't pin it to a particular moment or experience. My body was letting me know that, you know, this happened, this experience happened, and now, you know, it was reacting to it at that moment. So I said, okay, Lord, thank you for that revelation and understanding. But through that process, I mean, it was, and this is occurred in 2007. So what I'm saying is that even no matter when the situation occurred, those moments of grief can come, it can go, it can ebb, it can, you know, it can increase, decrease, it can flow here and, you know, be triggered by something. So I just want to just share a little bit today about grief without being too, I didn't want to be clinical with it, but just share with how we can overcome that and to look out for signs maybe of complicated grief, those who get stuck in grief and don't know how to move forward in that grieving process. But with that, during that time that I was experiencing this time, because years, I mean, I have, you know, it's years have passed by that I have experienced, you know, moments of sadness, but not like this particular time, not like this year. And I know that it is contributed to or the what is going on now. So if we're experiencing any type of grief, you know, loss, that it may be exacerbated by what is going on now, you know, with the pandemic, with the social injustice, you know, with all the killings that have been happening, and just all this that's been going on around us can really trigger the grief that we may experience, have experienced before, has not been as intense, but now it may be, you know, because of everything else that's going on, the isolation that we, you know, that we're experiencing, not being able to socialize and to go out and to do things with friends or to visit with family. And so all of this, it may be taking a toll on some of us and triggering that grief. And, you know, and it's okay to realize it's okay that we have moments of grief. It's okay when we do that to remember our loved ones that we've lost. But when a person gets stuck in that and they cannot move forward, that's when it becomes a problem. So when we think about grief, it is a normal response to loss of someone or something. So grief and loss, when we're talking about that, does not necessarily have to be a person that we've lost, but also something that we've lost, a person we've lost their jobs. You know, a lot of people during this this pandemic have lost their jobs. They've lost homes. They've lost relationships. Relationships have been lost. Different things, as I said, jobs and so forth. So even control, when we think about that, I was reading something about that children, parents who have no say-so or feel like they've lost control as to whether or not they are to send their children back to school in person again or keep them at home, and they feel like there's a loss of control. So there's a loss in a lot of different ways. So grief can be painful. It can be very painful. It can hurt. And we don't want to, you know, devalue that at all, but to know that it is a painful place. It can be isolating because a person who may be experiencing grief can feel isolated because the loss may not be something that's popular. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. Okay, and there's a range of feelings when we are talking about grief. A person may experience guilt, sadness, anger, disappointment, or regret. And, you know, as I think back on during my process of my journey, and I've lost, you know, I lost my parents and my son, but losing a child is a different experience. There's a different experience of loss, and that is the most, I think, most impactful loss that anyone can experience. But for a range of feelings, we have, like I said, the guilt, the sadness, the anger, the disappointment, the regret. Did I experience any of those feelings? Yes, especially the guilt. It was like, okay, well, did I do something wrong? Was I not praying enough? Was I not, was there some unconfessed sin in my life? Was there, you know, so I had all these emotions going on with the guilt aspect of it. And, of course, the sadness, the anger. The anger toward the way that he died, okay, the person that was involved with that. The disappointment because he was just coming into life, so to speak, because, you know, he had his ups and downs in life, but he was just coming into being who God, you know, God had called him to be. He was fulfilling his purpose in life. He had, he had given his life to Christ. He was active in church, and I was actually looking forward to us being in ministry together. So that was a disappointment. You know, a regret. Of course, we all may have regrets at some time. What have you regretted? I regret the moments that we didn't you know, he wanted to take vacations together. I regret those times that we did not do that. We didn't actually come together and take those vacations together. So it's a range of feelings that a person may experience during the grieving process. And just look at it, that grief is exactly that. It is a process. It's not an event that it happens at the time of the person's passing death, but it is a process. So it's just not an event. And so we just want to think about that. According to Philippians 4, 19, that God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Jesus Christ. But that includes, when we think, sometimes we hear that scripture, we're thinking about our needs as material needs and, you know, our finances and so forth. But that includes our emotional needs as well. God will meet that need. He will be there because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we're thinking about that. And then as the scripture from Romans 8, 38 and 39, that is so powerful to me. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Savior. So nothing can separate God's love from us. The love of God will be able to separate us from the love of God. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. So he's there with us. He's there. He's concerned about our needs. Oh, excuse me. He's concerned about our needs. He's concerned about what we're going through. He's concerned about all those emotional things that emotional needs that we might have. You know, those unresolved issues, those unmet needs. And so sometimes in that grieving process, we're not allowed the Lord in it. We have not allowed God to be in that process, but he wants to meet the need. And then in Psalm 55 and 22 reads, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That is powerful. Cast your burden on the Lord. So we're in that place. We're having those range of emotions. We're in that place in that grieving process, and the pain is real, and the hurt is real. But we have to cast that burden on, give it to the Lord, and he'll keep you through the process. He will keep you through the process that you will not, it says the righteous will not be moved. He shall not permit the righteous to be moved. That is so true. Testimony about my son's death. He was killed by a drunk driver, okay? And then in the process of going to court and all of that, the person got off. The person was clearly way over the limit, but because of the situation and who the person was and all this other, just a lot of injustice in the court system, the person got off. And the Lord would not permit me to walk in unforgiveness or hatred. Now, I had anger. I was angry, but I didn't stay in that place. I didn't stay in it. The Lord would not permit me to be moved into unforgiveness. The Lord would not permit me to have hatred in my heart. And so when you cast your burden on the Lord, I gave it to God. When I gave it to him, he kept me through that process, and that he did not allow me to be moved. Praise the Lord. And then in 1 Peter 5 and 7, excuse me for the okie dokie. All right. I can't find it right quickly. Okay, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we get to cast all of our cares upon the Lord because he does. He cares for you. He cares for me. He cares about everything concerning us if we're trusting him, if we have made him Lord and Savior over our lives. So sometimes when we allow God to keep us, to sustain us, to keep us, and we're trusting in him, we're casting our cares upon, to giving it to him. But if we don't, sometimes we don't do that. And why? Because we feel like we take it upon ourselves to be strong. You know, sometimes in different cultural experiences, people have to realize they try to be strong. I think, thinking back into that situation for myself, I was trying to be strong for everyone else. You know, having that strong black woman thing going on, you know, the strong Christian, you know, the super Christian, you know, not allowing my emotions to show at that particular time, but not fully engaged in the grieving process. You know, feeling like I said, that you have to be there for everyone else. And having that tendency to want to return to normal, the normal routine. And that's okay to want to be able to do that or have that tendency to do that. But if you're trying to escape the grieving process, then there's a difference there. There's a difference between returning to your routine to help you process through your through the grieving process. But if you're trying to return to that routine, you know, that to a busier routine, to not to think about the grief or not to allow yourself to walk through that grieving process, then there can be problems, complicated, as I said earlier, complicated grief. So grief not dealt with, we don't deal with it, acknowledge it, walk through the process of it. If it's not dealt with, can be stored for years and eventually, again, find yourself in that complicated grief. And what does that look like? Complicated grief, a person may have trouble eating. You know, the sleeping habits may change, may have difficulty concentrating or, you know, functioning in a daily activity. And so those may be signs of complicated grief and not really not being able to talk about the person without falling apart. You know, I can talk about my son now. I love talking about him because he was really a funny person. You know, he was a funny person, caring, very loving person, and just very thoughtful. So I can think about those and I can talk about him. There's a friend of mine who shares a funny story about him that we all always laugh about that. And so those things, if you're in a place of complicated grief, a person wouldn't be able to do that. You know, they wouldn't be able to talk and share things about the person. And so when we're talking about different types of grief, you know, we said like loved ones, losing things, something, the different types of losses. But then there's another type of grief that we don't think about often, or we don't know as we don't know what to say to people or how to help people when a person is grieving the loss of maybe a child or a loved one who's died by suicide, or maybe they died of a drug overdose, or by gun violence, or there was homicide involved in it. You know, that disenfranchised grief is not being able to openly express your grief due to the fear of judgment. Maybe by the community, by the family, you know, that person. And so if they feel like, or the judgment comes that this person does not have the right to grieve. But we all have the right to grieve. No matter what the situation is, no matter what has occurred, we all have the right to grieve. So as I said, some of those examples that I just mentioned, that the person may feel shame, you know, about what happened, and so they may not grieve. They may have hidden grief. And so that's when, you know, as people, as we, as loving people that we are, that God gives us, you know, his love, we have his love in our heart, that we reach out to those, or be sympathetic to those who are going through those situations. Grief is like this, it's a process that we should be aware of, and we all have our individual journey in that if we are working through grief. So we have to ask ourselves sometimes, when a person has hidden grief, ask yourself the question, if you're working through the grief, you know, as I mentioned earlier about returning to a normal routine, is it a busier routine that you're returning to than you had before? So are you working through grief? Or are you running from it? So we sometimes have to ask ourselves when we're in that grieving process, where am I in this process? Am I actually working through this? And how do you, you know, how do you know that you're working through that process? But, you know, being those things, having those healthy coping skills I talk about in a little bit. But how can you help someone else? How can we be that person, that extension of God's hands and his eyes and his ears? How can we be that extension? How can we help others? First of all, you can, you know, have a listening ear. Have a listening ear. What is the person saying? And that's what I'm saying, have a listening ear. Sometimes we do really don't know how to listen. We don't know how to listen. We don't know. We want to interject our own thoughts and our own opinions and things that we shouldn't be saying to the person. But listening to the person, let them say what they need to say. Okay, realizing that there are no, when we think about there's no time limit to grieving to that journey. So each person is different. It's going to be an individual thing for the person. But things that we should not do when we want to help someone else, we want to be there for someone else. But sometimes it's where we get sidetracked. We don't know what to say. And a person may not know, they don't know what to say or what to do, and so they end up not doing anything and not saying anything, which is the worst thing you can do, because sometimes all a person wants who's grieving, who's in that moment, is just to have someone present, just to have you be there. And again, like I said, to listen. So the things that you do not withdraw from those who are suffering loss. And again, that comes from not knowing what to say or what to do. Don't withdraw from them. Let them know that you're there. Do not compare. Don't evaluate or judge their responses to the situation. Avoid the temptation to patronize or pity those who are grieving. And just don't forget them. You know, just don't forget. Sometimes we want to do things. And we, you know, it's in our heart to do it. We have that those times we really do that, but then we get busy with things in our own lives, and the next thing we know, we haven't visited that person. We didn't get a card and sent to that person. We didn't pick up the phone and call that person. So things that you can do, find out what the person's needs are. Sometimes they won't. A person who's in that moment of loss and grief would really don't know what they need, actually. So just kind of find out when you're listening to them, sitting down listening to that person, that eventually you will find out what their needs are. Maybe they might need groceries picked up, or maybe they might need something done in their yard, or maybe help with the children. I know during this pandemic situation, we have different guidelines and restrictions, but still find out exactly, you know, what can you do to help. And decide what you're willing and able to do to help. So we're not super, like I said, we're not superheroes, but find out what our limitations are. You know, be mindful of that and be okay with what your limitations are, because you may not be able to do everything, okay, and you can't do everything, and you shouldn't do everything, because then you'll be worn out and be, you know, be in a place of, you know, maybe stressful situation, maybe stressful for you. Help those who are grieving with the practical problems of everyday living, like I said, you know, what are some things that you can help them with? And if you see a person who's experiencing loss and they're in this place of, you know, making rash decisions and making decisions that will be that wouldn't be, you know, profitable for them or maybe down the road may be destructive. So help them to walk through that process. Help them to realize that those decisions may not be the best decisions that they're making right now, to wait. And so when you're in a place of grief, going through that journey, that process of grieving, it's best to wait before making any decisions, especially major decisions. All right. So offer a listening ear, be present for the person, show sympathy. All right. So we may find it, as Christians especially, that we may find it difficult to show empathy or to show sympathy because of the loss, especially it's out of the norm, out of the, I want to say normal losses, but out of those, losses that we, you know, that we hear about and that we are, that occurs and those things like that, but those losses that I talked about earlier, you know, that maybe the person has lost, their former spouse was abusive and that person died. You know, maybe a child's been lost to gang violence. Those things like that. So sometimes we may find it difficult to show grace and to show mercy to those individuals. But that's when we need to search our hearts and find out, you know, what is it about that situation that we're having, you know, difficulty with showing grace and love to that person. So people grieve in different ways, and people grieve, you know, the different losses. And a lot of times we just don't think about those who have that hidden grief because we just may not know what to say to them or what we can do. So as we go through that process, as I was going through the grieving process, you know, to take a time, a moment to remind yourself of what is missing. You know, it's okay to know what is missing and to think about that, to reflect on those things. Sometimes a person with a deep attachment to someone, and they've lost someone and they have that really deep attachment, that deep attachment, first of all, becomes someone's part of their identity. And so that loss may be very felt deeply, 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 because that person became a part of their identity. And so they have that process. They need to, when going through that process, they will need to have a renewed mind so that it can be transformed into that. And so the person may no longer be physically with us, but it's still in our memory. So we're thinking about that, that person that we've lost may no longer be with us, but that person is still in our mind, is still in our memories. And so there has to be a readjustment, what it means to never see that person again. You know, what does that mean for us? What does that look like for us? You know, when we know we're not going to see that person again, but in thinking about that, we don't want to completely erase those memories, because those memories are healthy. You know, those memories help in the grieving process for years and years to come. We have to sometimes reset the mind and to knowing that, okay, the person is not here, but I can still find joy in remembering, you know, in the great memories. And I'm sensing someone is saying right now, but what if the memories were not great, but still grieving the loss of that person? You know, grieving is still appropriate to grieve the loss of that person. when we talked about the different feelings, the range of emotions, you know, sadness, let sadness serve its function. You know, let the pain serve its function. It can be useful. It can, help us to understand ourselves better. So understand that use the sadness, use the pain. Let it be useful for you. Understand your feelings by acknowledging the sadness, by acknowledging the pain. And then, you know, the rituals that we have. Different cultures have different rituals for honoring those that have passed on. But such rituals as funerals have they are tended to help us in ways. And now that's one of the things about this the pandemic now, because funerals are not, we're not having funerals the way that we normally do. So the cultural rituals such as funerals are intended to supplement the grieving process or the adjustment period. All right, so when you think about funerals, emotions are expressed freely in the presence of friends and loved ones. People may have the opportunity to say encouraging words about the deceased person. You know, it's the coming together of friends and family to honor the deceased person. It fosters acceptance of the death of the person. And we don't have that. We know we're struggling in that area right now because of the pandemic, and people are having this in a fortunate. So the pandemic has thrown a curveball in this ritual process. You know, funerals are being held by virtual and online services that increases the feelings of sadness and anger and regret, you know, associated with grief. So it's so even more important now for people to who have lost someone, who have lost someone, is to really understand the grieving process and go through the grieving process, not to have hidden grief, you know, to seek out support during this time. So being able to adapt to the loss will help the grieving individual experience the pain in a healthy way without succumbing to the suffering. So you can have the pain, you know, we have the pain, but we don't have to have the suffering that comes along with the pain. The pain is real. And then asking yourself, you know, what do you need to do to move forward? You know, realizing there's no time frame with the grief, as I said before, everyone's journey will be different. But explore the capacity within you to adapt to the loss. We have that capacity. God has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He's given us everything that we need and in that we have that capacity, the resilience. It is in us to adapt to the loss. And I know that at that moment of pain, at that moment of loss, that pain is real and it can be intense, and it does not feel like that you will move on, you know, in life. But realizing that God has given us what we need, we're trusting in the Lord. He will give us the strength. He will give us the comfort, you know, to move forward, to move on in life. Now, the journey, yes, and will it ever go away? No. The hurt, you know, the sadness will be there. It's going to be there. And it will be triggered by different things. It may be triggered by a birthday or, you know, a song that person liked, or, you know, vacation spots or something that it may trigger that. But as long as the person does not stay in that place of grief, you know, lean into that moment then move forward. We're talking about how to help others, you know, let people grieve. And I'm encouraging you today, grieve if you need to. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not unspiritual. The pain and grief may gradually subside, but as I said earlier, there will be triggers to that. There are no time limits. Allow yourself to grieve. Don't refuse to grieve. Don't refuse to work through the process. And sometimes with people who are, you know, who are having problems with grief, with grieving, they can feel guilty for having moments of happiness. Okay. You know, as I said earlier, you know, remembering those moments, things that my son, you know, did and the moments of happiness, you know. So, yes. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we're thinking about that, that God gives us the strength in those moments. You don't have to feel guilty for having moments of happiness. And if you find yourself that not able to come out of that place of grieving is just too overwhelming, too much for you, get help. You know, find help. It's okay to reach out to a grief counselor or maybe your clergy or your pastors or, you know, reach out to someone. Get help, but don't stay in that place. Do not isolate yourself in this moment of grief. God is gracious and merciful and kind, and he is God all by himself. So I just want to, I'm not going to just leave you there in this place. I want to give you some scriptures that will encourage you, keep you, comfort you. There are any chains of heaviness or uncomplicated grief, I pray, God, that those chains will be broken on today and that you'll be able to move forward. And Psalms chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. So God understands your heart. He knows your heart. He feels the pain for you because he took it on the cross. My God, that pain and that hurt, that sadness, the anger, the bitterness, he took it on the cross. Thank you, Lord. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. It's not by our own strength, not by finding comfort or reprieve in anything else, you know, not turning to drugs or those things that we feel will bring us peace, but it's the Lord who will sustain us. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Oops, wait a minute, did I miss? Okay, I lay down and sleep, and I woke, for the Lord sustain me, and I would not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. So, but I'm going to go down to verse 7. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O God. Stop right there. So God has made a way. The Lord helps his troubled people. He is there. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So he is there. He's the God who's there. He's the God who hears. He's the God who sees. He sees your heart. He sees your trouble. He sees your struggles. So he is there. He will not ever leave you. He's not definitely going to leave you in your time of suffering. So some more scriptures I just want to read into your hearing. So with you now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. That's John 16 and 22. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So God will give you the strength to make it through your pain and your hurt. He will give you the strength for you to get up and to start doing and to start living life again. He will give you the strength to overcome. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying of pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is Revelation 21 and 4. And in Romans 8 and 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8 and 18, that is powerful. What we're going through right now, it doesn't even compare to the glory that will be revealed in us. Father, that is, that's powerful. Thank you, Lord. And Psalm 34 and 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So God is close to you today. He's close to you, and he will save you. He will save you from that place of dismay, that place of disappointment, the place of discouragement, the place of hopelessness. And then the last, two more. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But there's some action. He says, come to me. We got to do something. If you're weary, if you're burdened, and you just need rest from that place of pain and hurt, he says, come to me. Come to Jesus and learn from him. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So it's action. It's something that you need to do. And then the last one, Philippians 4 and chapter 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Sometimes it takes us being in that, in the presence of the Lord, being in the presence of God, you know, praying, taking that moment to be in his presence, taking that time to find that quiet place, you know, getting in the presence of the Lord, getting, maybe somebody just might need to take some time and get in the presence of the Lord. Get your word. Put on some praise and worship music. You know, just be in that quiet place and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. But do not be anxious about anything. God says, you know, he's got this. He said, you don't have to be anxious about that, because I made a way of escape for you. And that way of escape is praying. It's praying and giving thanks to who God is, and thanks for how he's already blessed you. And then making your request to God. Present your request to God. God knows, he already knows what you're going through. He already knows what you're struggling with. He already knows the heartbreak. He already understands the unhappiness. He already knows all of those things about you. But what he's waiting for is for you to come into agreement with him. Falling out of agreement with the enemy that says that you're not going to make it, that it's going to be too hard, you know, that you're going, that staying in that place of hurt and pain is the best way to cope with it. No, God says that, he says, make your request known to him. He's just waiting for you to be in agreement with him that says that you are an overcomer, that you will overcome, because that's who you are in Christ. You're an overcomer, that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. So I just want to encourage you today to yield your heart, give that grief, give the pain, give the hurt, give the disappointment, give the unhappiness, give the unforgiveness, the regrets, the guilt. Give it to God. Present that request to him on today and say, Lord, I need your help. I don't want to be in this place anymore. And it comes with, do that, it comes with having a relationship with Jesus Christ, of saying yes to the Lord, yes to Jesus. If you have not made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, on today. You have not invited him into your heart. In Romans 10 and I'm going to read verse 8 and 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. You will be saved. So I just thank the Lord for speaking to us on today, for helping us, for healing broken hearts and binding up wounds, and just being in our presence right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for speaking to us, for being the balm of Gilead, healing wounded souls on today, healing hurt hearts, oh Lord God. Lord, being a balm to that pain, Lord, of grief. And I just pray right now for those who may be grieving, in the grieving process, Lord, that you will help them to help them in the journey, oh Lord. Help them to give the pain and the hurt and the loss to you, oh Lord. I pray, Father, that there will not be any complicated grief. I pray, God, that there will be no one stuck in grief. But those persons, Lord, who find themselves stuck in grief, I pray, Lord, that you will help them on their journey, O Lord. Help them to realize, Lord God, that you are the Lord God Almighty and that you love them unconditionally, Lord, and that you're there to be with them and to help them, to comfort them, to give them the strength that they need in Jesus' name. So, Father, I bless you and I thank you for this day. I give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for that right now message, and that was a message that everyone needs at this time. And we know someone has been on a grieving end in some way, form, or fashion. They've been on there. And you put it so well today. But I want to ask a question here. How about the grieving of divorce?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. That is a form of grieving. Relationships, yes, that's a loss because there is a loss of the relationship. So absolutely, a person can grieve in their because they have gotten a divorce and they're grieving the loss of the relationship, the loss maybe of trust, the loss, it could be a lot of things that they're grieving in that moment, you know, for that relationship, but absolutely. So the same journey or the same healing process is needed for, you know, the loss of a person who's actually died and loss of a relationship. It's the same process, the same journey. You know, that just allowing God in the midst of that healing process.
Well, I wish I had heard some of all of this when I had got one, because I'm assuming I was grieving because I was mad, angry, and mad. I was all of that rolled up into one, and it took me a while to get over it. It took me a while to get over. But I was in Christ. I was in Christ. And so he let me get right on, go right on with it. I kept it. I didn't want to let it go. I wanted to be mad. I wanted to be angry. I wanted to be all of that. I kind of was that until maybe 3 years later when God said to me to let it go. You know, let it go, because I wanted to know why come I'm living all I can and you ain't do nothing to him. You know, I wanted God to do something. Anything, I'd have been feeling better. But 3 years or so, he ain't do nothing, and he told me to let it go. And, you know, I tell him all the reasons why I didn't want to let it go. I wanted to be mad. I want to, you know, and all, because it was, I say, it's not fair, God. this is just not fair. I told God it wasn't fair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And God ain't say, oh, no, you know this. He ain't say nothing. He just let me go on and on and be in my misery, and it caused me to be in misery for about 3.5 years. And when mm-hmm. I let it go, I had mm-hmm. to let it go myself. I didn't have anyone to talk to. Didn't have anyone to tell me anything about anything. As a matter of fact, all my life, I don't know nothing. I listened to nobody, told me nothing. They didn't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. They told me what I shouldn't be doing, but they didn't tell me mm-hmm. how to do anything. And the church
right.
didn't mm-hmm. tell me how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think about today that the church world need to hear about the things in life that occur a lot to people, like losing
yes.
a loved one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have no problem with my son when I lost him because he, I was there. And
right.
he was,
mm-hmm.
you know, he repented and everything of all his sins. He went through the whole thing from birth right on down, everything he could remember. And
mm-hmm.
then he asked everybody in the church to forgive him for what he'd done, and he named that, how he was toward them. So I didn't have to grieve only one way. Now that you mention it, I'm thinking about it now, the way his
mm-hmm.
Burial was put out, was out. The way, you know, his wife did, I kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, that made me grieve. But
mm-hmm.
then I have to look at it this way. God said he was leaving, and I had to accept the fact. He'd
mm-hmm.
say how,
yeah.
he'd say how you're going to be buried, that he wasn't going to be buried, that he's going to be cremated. I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while I was grieving about that. You know, I did. You know, and I had to let that go. I didn't hold on to no 3 years now this time, but I had to let
mm-hmm.
that go. But everybody should hear something about it because there's a lot of grieving going on, and I'm
yeah.
sure they don't know how to deal with it, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, I'm going to ask you here now, if we should get in touch with this other sister got a broadcast, and could you, you might want to talk about something that on another broadcast too, because dealing with other people, a lot of different other people you'd be dealing
okay.
with. But, and I'm going to ask her, you know, because she's good for that. Because they need it in time like these, need to know how to deal with it. Because
mm-hmm.
people are mad, angry,
yeah.
hurt,
yeah.
disappointed,
mm-hmm.
and they want to do ungodly things and stuff because
mm-hmm.
of it. Some people are killing themselves because somebody died in
mm-hmm.
their family. They don't know how to handle it. Their mama died,
mm-hmm.
a daddy, brother, or somebody died, husband, and they don't know how to handle these things. And I know
mm-hmm.
because I didn't know how to handle them. And I thank God that God helped me when my mother died, I got help.
Mm-hmm.
But I did
yeah.
ask God one thing. I say, God, how? I said, I done wasted. We wasted 70 years over nothing. And
mm-hmm.
when it came out, when she finally said what she been mad with all these years, it wasn't about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was disappointed.
Yeah.
And I said,
mm-hmm.
a whole 70 years we done wasted when we could have been mama and daughter and doing all the good things, you know, all the things moms and daughters do. And I was
mm-hmm.
disappointed, a little upset
okay.
that it took so long, but that's God's way of doing things, is the way he
mm-hmm.
do things. We have to deal with it, and it all was for a reason. But we
mm-hmm.
I learned that I didn't have to grieve because she was with us, me and Mike, and we start talking about the Lord to her, getting her closer to God, to accept God and everything. And so that was better. She said, "Now I'm ready to go home. Let me go. Let me go."
Mm-hmm.
And no, we ain't letting you go. She said, "No, I'm ready to go. I want to go. Let me go." And so we didn't grieve. We couldn't grieve like, you know, grieve. We just love grieve. We kind of love. You ever heard of love grieve? And I thought it would be really bad, but it wasn't after I began to understand the way God was working it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got everything you asked for. She's here. You asked to take care of her when she get old and couldn't do nothing for herself. You wanted to do that. You wanted a house to do that in. I did all of that. And she was there those years with us. So I had that. I didn't have to grieve like I thought I was going to grieve over it. I grieve over all the people, over the divorce more than I did that, you know, because my mother was in a better place. See, she was in a better place, and I didn't have to grieve because I'll grieve if the person ain't saved. You ever grieve for people that is not related to you and you know they're not saved?
Mm.
Now that makes
sense. Having a concern for them, understand what you're saying.
I really feel very. I grieve more for them because they didn't give themselves to the Lord. When you tried to lead them to God, they didn't, and they just died, went on and left here, and then my heart is bleeding for them. Them, but I don't. But other people, you know, like my uncle too, Gene, I didn't have to grieve for him because I had a chance to lead him to the Lord. So all of that made me feel better because they're in a better place. So I learned not to grieve that instant. Other than that, I would be crying because, you know, I love him. We was kind of close a little bit, you know. And I ain't crying now, dang. I was talking and say tears rolling out my eyes, and I'm wiping my eyes so dying. Say you're grieving. Praise the Lord. But anyway, no. But I thank you for it, and I'm gonna try to get in touch with her if I can get through to her line, cause she kind of do the same thing you do. She work in the same field you kind of work in there. And she would appreciate it. I feel like she would appreciate it as soon as she get to me because she got a lot of clients right now with the sickness and all that's going on. So I'm going to see, can I get a Bishop will be on her line tomorrow. Thursday.
Just tomorrow.
He'll be there. So. He probably going to text you and tell you about it. You know how Bishop is.
That's fine. Yeah, okay, because I was going to ask for the information anyway.
I thank you for that information because, well, now, our time is running out, but the thing is I had a lot of more questions wanted to answer, too. You want to answer a question? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? You ain't through grieving? You grieving about your mama still? Wouldn't you say, we ain't got but a few seconds, wouldn't you say that a person is still grieving, they don't act the same anymore? Would you say they're still grieving and haven't gotten,
when you say that they're not acting this, they're acting differently than before.
Yeah, they haven't come into grips with it.
Oh yeah, if that person has not acknowledged it and had not accepted. Okay. Yeah, because that's one of the journeys. That's one of the. You know, the knowing that a person is on their way to I don't say healthy grieving, but that is acceptance. You know, because people are going to go through different cycles of grief. It's going to be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So acceptance is one of them. And that could come at a different time, you know, in that person's journey. Yeah, absolutely. But I think that it just helping that person come to the acceptance of they may be stuck there and not being able to accept it. If it has it been a long time?
Well,
has it been
not long, but it was long to me, but not long, long. You know, some people, you know, some people quick, like you say, different, depending on the person, really. My thing is, God, how you call prepare me before it happened. He prepares me by almost a year before it happened. Say they're gonna be leaving from you, and all. So nothing surprising wasn't surprising for my son nor my mother. It wasn't surprising for me, but some people is surprised in the way it happened.
Right.
Some people can.
Yeah.
They still mad with the folks involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it takes healing. That's the healing process. You know. Yeah. Jesus has to be in, definitely has to be in the healing process, you know, in order for the person to, to be restored to where God wants them to be.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yes. That's right. Well, We got a big family that is kind of still grieving. You know, we got a big family kind of still grieving, anger and madness and doing dumb things and stuff like that. We gonna pray for them too, and we want to thank again for today, and I'm going to see, can I get in touch with her? She says she was going to call me as soon as she get a little break from with all these clients she had. So anyway, I'll try to get to her, and then we'll try to hook you and her up so y'all can talk. She's in Texas now. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that awesome word coming forth from Elder Addison. Trusting that you enjoyed that broadcast that came forth. If you missed it, you came in late, you can always visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click the link for the Blog Talk Radio. You can share it with a friend today. You can share it on your page. You can text it. You can message it. You can email it. You know, it is a right now word today because so many people are grieving in so many different forms. So we just thank God for that word coming forth. We thank Elder Addison for allowing God to, you know, have his way with her. So tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to Blog Talk Radio. And you will hear another awesome woman of God, Pastor Sharon. So come on, tune in, tell a friend. I mean, the broadcast been coming forward like never before. That Rhema word been coming forward. Preparation been coming forth. So you know what? Share it with a friend today, okay? Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, be blessed.
Could not find. In when I kneel down to pray. Pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying, how the story ends.
When I let go,
let go,
he's the only one with the answer.
Let go,
yes, let God.